And so we're going to talk today about a topic. I'm going to do the fourth installment of this mini-series that we're doing on choices. And today I'm going to talk to you about choose not to lose. Everybody say, choose not to lose. We're talking about making good choices, but today I want to specifically encourage you and motivate you to make the kind of choices that will help you be a winner. Okay? Now, God has promised you victory. He's told you he wants you to be a winner. He said you're an overcomer. He said, you know, we know all the promises. You could do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but yet sometimes the reality of life and what we read in the scriptures seem to be contradictory. But I believe that there are some things that we can do to embrace those promises and then rise to the place where we actually see the promises of God come to pass and be victorious, whatever it is that God has called you to be or what he's called you to do. I believe bad choices will derail your destiny. I believe bad choices will negatively affect the quality of your life. I mean, this is part of what we do as parents. We try to help our children understand these are choices that if you go down that road, it could have life-changing, altering consequences, and you may never be able to turn those around outside of maybe a miracle from God. And so sometimes we have to stop and listen to those voices that are trying to give us wisdom and advice. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. In this video, you saw all these famous people who were told or they were treated like they were losers, you know. And some of them, we go, how in the world could somebody say that about Walt Disney? He's got no creative ideas. He's got no imagination. How could we say that about somebody like Albert Einstein, you know, this genius who didn't even talk till he was four? I mean, now if, you know, somebody is in our daycare and they're not talking by three or four, we go, you know, bring a therapist in. They're never going to make it. But you know what? God knows, and you just can't judge because there's choices that people make throughout their life that will overcome their disability, that will challenge their circumstances, and with the help of God, cause them to become what they were born on this earth to become. And every single one of us has a calling and has a destiny by God to do something that is life-changing. And we think of ourselves, or maybe we've been told about ourselves, that our lives really don't matter. I mean, there's billions of people. What does my little life matter? What does my one vote count? What does my, commitment mean? And I want you to know that with you and God, you're a majority. When God calls you to do something and you carry it out, you may not see immediate results, but at some point, somewhere, that seed of your obedience is sown in the lives of people and in the lives of those around you, and things change. You are the work of redemption in a fallen world that helps you change the lives of people around you. And so it's all ultimately not always just about you, but it certainly starts with you and your choices. These people, there's something that was in them that made a choice. They chose not to be losers. They chose to be winners, okay? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about choose not to lose. Choose to be a winner, all right? Now, I believe even in failure and in the face of rejection, in the midst of opposition, good choices will help us avoid utter defeat. I mean, defeat comes knocking at our door. Opposition comes knocking at our door. Jesus actually said it was going to do that. He said, the storm is coming. Those that build their life on the word of God will be able to withstand it. So he prophesied and he warned us that we're going to face storms and tribulation. It's what we do to prepare for that. I also believe that opportunity is coming knocking at your door. All right? You know, it's easier to see opportunity going than it is coming. And so, but if we're prepared for the opportunity when it comes, we can take advantage of it. If we're not prepared for the opportunity, it just comes and it goes and we've missed our time. And so being prepared for that is really, really important. And Proverbs 24:16, it'll be up here on the screen. The first part of it says this: for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. All right. So no matter how many times you have failed, and it just says seven times because that's a Bible number for, you know, for as many times as it happens, a righteous man will get up because they can rely upon the strength, the forgiveness, the redemption, and the help of God and the Holy Spirit in their life to cause them to rise up. And we prayed for people today. Some people are facing very difficult situations, but I believe as we pray and we believe God and you make the right choices, those adversities, all right, can become opportunities. Those roadblocks can become stepping stones. And you need to realize that not every bad thing that comes into your life is meant for your destruction. Sometimes those things will come into your life and it can cause you to be stronger and it can create an opportunity for you to excel. And maybe that's your moment because God's going to give you the answer to somebody's problem or a situation where you can say, I know how to deal with this. You know, and when you have the answers to problem, people come to you and want you to help them. And that is one of the formulas for success, is being able to help people through their problems. All right. Another couple of scriptures here about defeat or encouragement is Paul says this in two places. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing or decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. So even though your body might be getting weaker, your spirit man can become stronger. And that's where the faith comes from. Your faith comes from your spirit, no matter what your body can or cannot do. In Galatians 6:9, he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So, you know, you look back over a lifetime of service to God or obedience or sacrificing or commitment, and you got to realize you've sown a lot of seeds into the kingdom of God. And do not lose heart, because that harvest is still there for you. Just don't quit. Don't lose heart so you don't, you know, plow under the things that you have planted. A lot of times people will sow seeds and they'll do all these things, and then because it doesn't come in the season that they want it, because it says due season, not our season. It's God's season. And in due season, you will reap. So don't plow under the harvest that you've planted over the years. God does not want you to be a failure. He does not want you to be a loser. Losing is not his plan for your life. Now, losing your life, that's his plan for your life. But I'm saying losing as in being defeated. Being defeated. Being in bondage. Not knowing what to do. That's not his plan for your life. He gives you the freedom, though, to make choices to obey him or reject him. I was speaking with a young lady this week, who was applying for a job in our daycare. And Pastor Lori has a very strict, uncompromised policy that she wants to have strong believers who are teaching our children. She doesn't want anybody else in there if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a disqualifier. So we were in there, and graciously she was asking questions. Well, I'm not sure if there is a heaven or a hell. I'm not sure if there's this or that. And so we began to have this discussion, and she just seemed to feel like the problems in the world could be laid at the responsibility and the blame of God himself. And I said, you know, God could have created the world without any choices. But the fact is, he wanted to give you the freedom to choose to serve him or to not serve him, to obey him or not to obey him. He gave you the choice to go to heaven or to go to hell. Now, who in their right mind would not choose to follow God? Evidently, a lot of people. Because they don't understand that their choices have consequences. Well, God shouldn't have created the world this way. Well, that's your opinion. He chose to create it this way. He chose to give you a free will. He chose you to give you choices that have consequences. And what we have to learn is what choices that we should make in order for our lives to be successful. How many of you want to be a loser? Now, we laugh at that because that's obviously nobody wants to be a loser. But how many of you ever made a choice and you lost because of your choice? It was a bad decision, wasn't it? It was a bad decision. And some are worse than others. And some choices, choices really are simple, but they're not easy sometimes. The choice is pretty simple, but it's not easy to make. And I'll tell you, we'll see why here in just a minute, and hopefully you'll be able to be motivated to take that simple choice and do what it takes to make the right one, okay? The reason I believe that people choose to lose instead of make the simple choice to be a winner is because they do not want to pay the price of what it takes to win. To me, that's what it comes down to. They don't want to pay the price to make the choice to win. Because you have to give up to go up. You have to give up something to get something better. That's what I said yesterday. You can't get to that shore over there. You can't cross this river and get to that shore if you're not willing to leave this side here. I'm in ministry today because I left a lot of things and made choices. I was going to just follow the call of God. Well, there really isn't any other way to do it. You have to leave certain things if you're going to obtain something else. If you want a promotion on your job, you have to be willing to do what it takes to get it. If you want to be healthy, you have to be disciplined enough to eat the right things and exercise. If you want to have a great marriage or family, you have to spend the time with people. If you want to serve God in ministry, you have to do what he asks you to do to become what he needs you to be. All right? I will say this. I have lost, I have been a loser, and I have been a winner. Winning is wonderful. Losing is lousy. Somebody said when you're winning, you hardly feel the pain. But when you're losing, everything hurts. The only time you hear somebody use the phrase, it's only a game, is when they're losing. So there are two pains that we can experience in life. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And you will experience one or the other. Because life puts choices in front of you that you cannot avoid. That popular phrase, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. You choose not to decide, then other people will decide for you. And believe me, it's not always good. It's not always good. So losing is hard, and it's painful. And that pain can be something we easily carry in our heart when we lose. And that's why when we experience a loss, it's easy to feel like a loser. It's easy to personalize that loss and go, I am a loser. Especially if you lose a lot, then you're like a really big loser. But that's not the way God sees you. He never calls you and identifies you as a loser. He calls you a winner. He calls you an overcomer. He calls you more than a conqueror. This is who you are. You may have a loss. You may lose. You may make the wrong choice. But you're not a loser. It's like we try to make sure when we're talking to these kids in our daycare, we try to tell the teachers, if the children do something wrong, they're not bad. They did something bad. That doesn't mean they are bad. They are good, and the choice they made was contradictory to who they are. Tell them, that's not you. You're a good person. You make better choices than that. And that's the way God sees us. And that's the way, you know, the Bible teaches us that we're not condemned just because we make a stupid decision or disobey God. We're not condemned. We're his righteousness. We are his saints. We are his sons and daughters. Now, we identify with that, and we follow the path of who we are. Okay? You got to press into that and say, because I am a child of God, this is the kind of choices a child of God makes. You know, does a child of God, does a person who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, does he watch certain things? Does he hang out with certain people? Does he make these? No. I mean, we have to adapt our choices, and these are choices no matter whether you're saved or not. But if we are saved, we adapt our choices to who God has created us to be and called us to be and what he has called us to do so we can fulfill our destiny in that area. So God's will for you is to win. And that's why I'm here, to help you to know how to do it. Say, preach on, Pastor Tom. All right, I will. Okay. We've only got 3 hours left, so I better get going. What causes some people to choose to win, and what causes other people to lose? What causes some people to rise above their mistakes and failures? What causes them to rise above their losses and disappointments? And when others seemingly either can't or they won't. You know that some people just are going to win. You know, you knew when Michael Jordan was out there, he was going to win. There's no I in team, but there is in win, you know. So what causes some people to say, you know, if you look through Walt Disney's history, he was not only rejected by that newspaper publisher, said he's got no good ideas. When he started his own company, the people he sold his script to stole it and hired all of his employees, and he went bankrupt. Yet he decided to press on with the thing that he knew he was passionate about, that he was good at, and eventually he came up with an idea called Mortimer. And his wife said, "That's a stupid name. Call it Mickey." Mickey Mouse, not Mortimer Mouse. And he says, okay. And the rest is history. The rest is history. What is your Mickey Mouse idea? Everybody has one. Now, it may not make you to be a world-famous, you know, theme park inventor or animator or whatever, you know, author. But you know, you never know. It may make you something that the world recognizes, that we can't do without that. You're not a mistake. You're here on the earth for a purpose. Every life has a purpose. And you got to discover what that is, and then you got to make the choices to carry that out. What gives one person the motivation, the drive, and the discipline to pay the price to become that, to be a winner? I believe there are some characteristics, all right, that those people have that help them overcome failure and walk in victory. And I want to give those to you today. These are the characteristics of winners. All right? I'll just give you as many as I can. And when we're done, we're done. When you're tired, when I see people falling asleep, I'll just close the service and we'll walk out the door. Should I keep going? Okay, Delvin. Delvin and I are going to keep going. If you're taking down notes, these are the characteristics of winners. Now, there's hundreds of things that we could put here. These are just the things that I feel like I wanted to share with you as people in our church, and things that were on my heart that I felt like would really be helpful for you. The characteristics of winners. And in the 30 years of pastoring people, these are some of the characteristics I have seen in winners. And the people who don't have these characteristics most likely will end up losing or being defeated in their life. And believe me, some people just don't know why life treats them this way. And they don't know why some other people get so lucky. I have been so lucky in my life. You know why? Because I apply these characteristics. You imagine, you'd be surprised how lucky your life begins to get when you begin to make the right choices. You know, I'm laughing about that because it has nothing to do with, you know, you're just in the right place at the right time. You know, unless you choose to be with the right people in the right place at the right time where God wants you to be. Yeah, then you're all of a sudden going to get lucky. We call it blessed. Versus cursed. And bad choices will put you under a curse. That's what the Bible teaches. God's not cursing you. You put yourself under a curse. Well, see, there's the curse is on this earth. You have to make choices to get out from under that curse through faith in Jesus Christ. Do what he says so you don't live under that curse. Life will destroy you if you continue to make choices to put yourself under that law where you're making choices that you're reaping death instead of life. Y'all with me? Okay, well, let me know. All right. Just let me know. The first characteristic to pursue an environment of success and victory in your life, number one, is commitment. It's commitment. All right? I didn't say you're going to like all these, but it's the truth anyway. Number one is commitment. Losers are quitters. They leave. They walk out. They take their marbles and go home. That's what losers do. When they have to put in the effort to win, they find an excuse. They come up with a reason not to do what it takes to be successful. And I'll tell you what, when you're facing adversity and these losses and defeats are standing in the face, it's not easy to make the tough choices many times. This is why they call them tough choices. This is why they call them hard decisions. Because you're having to make a decision to commit to something until you get a breakthrough. Okay? You got to commit to it, and you got to hang in there. And this is what winners do. Winners hang in there. They stay in the game. They don't throw in the towel when things get tough. They learn from the mistakes or hard times, and you know what they do? They get better. They don't get bitter, as my mom would say. They get better. Losers get bitter. Winners get better. When life gives them gives them lemons, they make lemonade. Hee-hee! Losers lack commitment. They check out. They blame others for their failures. Most often, this comes in the form of self-pity, because that's so easily justified. Oh, everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. Self-pity. This comes in the form of complaining and whining and victim mentality. Abraham Lincoln said, "Always bear in mind that your own resolution to success is more important than any other one thing." What's more important is your own resolution to success than anything else cause you to be a winner. Now, up on the screen here, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, in the Amplified, it says this, all right, about commitment. Paul says, "Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards or managers. Whatever God has called you to do, you're the steward of your life. You're the manager of the things that he has given you, your spiritual gifts, your finances, your time, all that stuff. It is essentially required in managers that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. People cannot trust a quitter. People can't give the responsibility of a job to someone who, if it gets too difficult, they won't show up the next day. I always say, you know, whether it's in ministry or in the marketplace, doesn't matter. 95% of success is showing up. Well, I'm not gifted at that. Well, the people who are gifted at that didn't show up, so I guess we'll take you. We laugh about that. I'll tell you what, showing up will keep you employed the rest of your life. Showing up with a good attitude. Success doesn't go to the talented or the gifted or the intelligent or the rich. Success goes to the committed, the faithful. Almost all the time. Okay? You can have all the talent in the world, but if you show up or you come with a bad attitude, people don't want you. Do you hear that? If you show up I don't care how good you are at what you do. If you show up with a bad attitude, people don't want you. They will find a reason to hurt you, fire you, and find someone else who's got a good attitude and who shows up and is happy to be there. So I would say, if you don't like your job, everybody knows it, just do everybody a favor. Move on. If you don't like what your boss is telling you to do, don't talk about it with everybody else behind your back. Go find a different boss or start your own company if you think you're so smart. We love you, Pastor Tom. That was kind of hard, but we still love you. You may need talent at some things, but you take two talented people, and the one with commitment will win almost every time. If commitment is the most important characteristic for winning, then why don't most people have it? I mean, faithfulness, the Bible says, a faithful man, who can find? I mean, this is a faithfulness is a huge lack in people's lives in our society. They come when they want. They don't come when they want. They come at the time they want. You never know if they're going to be there, if they're not going to be there. I mean, we call it dependability, but it's really faithful. I am committed to this. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm committed to this church. I'm committed to this job. I'm committed to God's calling upon my life, and I'm going to do it come hell or high water, no matter how I feel about it, no matter what temptations I have to do something else. I'm committed to this. That's a winner. That is a winner right there. And the reason is because commitment is not a gift from God. It's a choice. God, help me be committed. All right, well, he'll help you, but you still have to do it. in your flesh and the devil and this world is trying to take you down a path of destruction, and your commitment says, I'm going to follow God, and the war is on, baby. The pressure is on. Well, here, just let me take the lid off the pressure cooker here. All right? Just follow God. It's a simple choice. You know, everybody, we got worked up into a lather because, oh, we don't feel like it. Just tell your feelings to take a back seat. Just say, you know, you're not in control. You know? I don't have to feel good in order to do what's good. Right? Because if you ever are going to be a winner and live a life of commitment, you're not always going to feel good about the decisions that you have to make in order to be a winner. Mr. Michael Jordan, I don't know, I'm just assuming, and I think this is probably correct, that he probably said no to all the wonderful things he could be doing instead of being on the basketball court practicing hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Come on, let's go drink it. I'm busy. I don't know. Come on, let's go to the Bahamas. I'm busy. Come on, let's go to the, I'm busy. Why? Because in order to be a winner, you have to have commitment to what you want to win at. Talent? The world is full of talent. Potential? The cemeteries are full of potential. Of people who never committed to use their potential. Now, I thank God for the times in my life where I was in a situation where I had to start committing to some things in order to change the things in my life, because it caused me to make some tough choices that I may not have done just if I was just, you know, if everything was just rosy. So sometimes the pressures of life, the adversity of life, the struggles of life cause you to say, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm getting out of this. And you make some choices to move forward. And it may cause you to have to leave some people, not make some people happy, sacrifice some time, spend some extra money, do some things that you're uncomfortable with. But that's what commitment is about. Commitment is rarely comfortable. Four important questions that will help you choose a life of commitment. What do I really want in life? See, now, some people may have never even asked that question. What do I really want in life? Well, you know, this is just kind of a self-centered question, but the real question here, if you want to be more spiritual, is what does God want for my life, or what is my life supposed to be about in God? And I understand that, but it's really a desire that God puts in your heart. What do I want in life? You got to be honest about this. What do you want in life? And then you have to ask, once you find out, you have to say, what will it cost? How much time will it take? How much money will it take? How much energy will it take? Will it require education? You're not getting any younger. Third question, once you know that, am I willing to pay the price? There are some things that Pastor Lori and I could probably do. It wasn't necessarily on our top of our bucket list, but we said, you know, we are. God wants us to do this. We could do this, but God wants us to do this, and so we haven't paid the price to do certain things. We have paid the price to do what we're doing here. But you've got to choose. What is that you are willing to pay the price for? And then once you know, yes, I'm willing to pay the price, then the last question is, when should I start paying that price? Now, if you don't know the answer to that last question, when should I start paying the price, then the first three questions don't matter much. Because what happens is, you know the first three questions, but you're not willing to pay the price, and you're not willing to do it now. So there really won't be the kind of commitment necessary to see that happen. Up on the screen here, Hebrews chapter 10, 35 and 36 in the New King James Bible, it says this. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, your trust in God's promises, which have great reward. 36. For you have need of endurance, patient endurance. I would say commitment. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Sometimes people want the promise before they do the will of God. The will of God and the promises, the promises come after you do the will of God. And in order to do the will of God, you have to be committed to it. So you've got to understand, when you are set out to do what the will of God is for your life, all hell will break loose. Define hell however you want. Demons. Family, friends, employers, finances, sickness. I mean, just stuff just says like, whoa, wait a minute. I have enough problems just staying alive. Now I'm doing the will of God and I have to put up with all this besides. I thought Pastor Tom said I was supposed to be happy. I thought Pastor Tom said Christianity was supposed to be easy. I've never said anything other than Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It is easy and it is light. So if you're doing the will of God, he will give you the grace. But I'll tell you what, if somebody else tried to do what I was doing, or somebody else, if you're fulfilling the will of God and somebody else tried to do what you were doing, they were going, how in the world do you put up with all that? How do you survive this? How do you deal with that? You're committed. You're not a quitter. You're not a quitter. You're not the victim. You have a choice, no matter what happens, to stay committed to it, to pay the price, to see it through, to accept the victory that you know is going to be yours. Because sometimes you got to, all hell has to break loose so that when you rise up as a winner, everybody's going to go, well, that wasn't them. It had to be God. And that's okay. But that's why the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence. You trust in God when you're doing his will, that he will bring his promises to pass in your life. If you're committed to fulfilling the will of God, just you don't compromise. You don't say, God will understand. I'm just going to do this once. See, this is the reasoning that starts to happen that makes you think you're committed, but you're really not. Well, I'm really committed, but, you know, I got to do this right now, and that can wait. Or I got to do this right now, even though God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I'm living in adultery, but God knows my heart. I'm watching porn on the internet, but God knows my heart. You know, what? And I'm just dealing with that because that's obviously the big no-no in, you know, sexual sin. But and there could be anything. You know, I'm greedy and selfish and mean to people, but God knows my heart. I know God's got a calling upon my life, but unless he brings it to pass, I'll just do whatever I want to do. No, no, no. See, commitment says, I'm in the game. I'm going to do what it takes to fulfill God's calling upon my life. I'm going to trust God that he will bring it to pass because I'm going to commit to doing his will, and then I will receive the promise. Every great victory in your life will require the choice of commitment. Every great victory in your life will require the choice of commitment. When you see somebody who is successful in ministry or successful in business or is a winner in life in some aspect, they made a difficult choice, and the first choice they had to make was commitment. You ready for the second characteristic, or are we done? Anybody want another one? Delvin, okay, him and I will be here for a while. Delvin, here's the second one. Be teachable. Receive wise counsel. Be teachable. Receive wise counsel. I remember when Lori and I were falling in love and we decided to get married and live happily ever after. 34 years ago. We realized that we didn't have to be the perfect person to have a happy marriage. We realized that all we needed to be was teachable and we could grow together. Because to this day, after 34 years, I'm still learning stuff about her that is teaching me. She's still learning stuff about me that is helping her grow and teaching her. This is the way God sets it up. But if I'm not teachable and I don't want to grow and I don't want to learn, then you know what? Her and I aren't going to get along very well. You know, I'm going to want to cut the meat one way. She's going to want to cut it the other way. She's going to want to put salt and pepper in it. I'm going to want to put, you know, sauerkraut in it. She's going to want to do something. I'm going to do that. But, you know, unless we're teachable on how other people do things, we can grow. You're going to live in loser land in your relationships and in every area. Look at this, Proverbs 15:22. I pulled this out of the Amplified Bible. It says this, Proverbs 15:22, where there is no counsel, purposes are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are accomplished. That basically says if you try to go it on your own with what you know, you'll probably end up losing. If you find wise counselors, and these are wise counselors. This isn't like Bart Simpson and Gilligan and people like that. These are wise counselors. Plans will be accomplished. So you got to get counsel. You've got to get advice. How many of you are just stuck in your ways? You don't have to raise your hand. You're just stuck in your ways. You've got your routine, your schedule, your style, your habits, your patterns. You've got your ways of doing things. This is just the way I do things. This is the way I do things. This is the way I look at life. This is the way I think about things. This is how things should be done. You have your ways. You say, yes, this is what I believe. This is what I think. This is how I like to do things. And this is just the way life is for me. And I would ask, well, how's that working for you? Remember that week or two ago, that pastor at the conference said to us, pastor, he says, are you going to get any better or is this it? Going to get any better, or is this all there is? We have our ways of doing things, but they don't always work. But we just do the same thing over and over and over. We just do it harder. If we do the same thing harder, maybe it'll work this time. We just dig our heels in, or what we call now, we double down. We double down on it. Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is the definition of insanity. See, successful people, winners, are teachable. They learn from their mistakes, and they learn from the mistakes of others. But you know what else they learn? They learn from the successes of others. You know, for some of you, biographies may be boring, but I'll tell you what, if you find a successful person, read about their life and find out what made them successful. Because you know they went through a lot of mistakes to get there. They've made some bad choices, and you can learn from their bad choices, and you can also learn from their good ones. So the one thing I love about Abraham Lincoln's life, if you look at all the things that happened to him, he looked like an utter failure. But we consider him to be one of the greatest presidents because of that one of the choices that he made. And he had all these failures. But what made him a winner was he was committed because he had a sense of destiny and calling, that the hand of God was upon him for a divine moment. And in due season, we all reaped from his decision. Winners learn from what they have failed and what others have succeeded at. Losers think people are just lucky. So teachability, here's a definition. Possessing the intentional attitude and behavior to keep learning and growing throughout life. Teachability is possessing the intentional, and what I said, intentional. You do this on purpose. You have this attitude on purpose. I am going to learn. I am going to change. I am going to embrace change. I am going to learn from people's mistakes and successes. I'm going to learn from my mistakes, although I would prefer to learn from somebody else's. A teachable person is not concerned about being right. They are concerned about doing right, but not being right. In fact, I think losers are more interested in being right than they are doing right. This means a teachable person is humble. They're willing to receive instruction. Watch this. They're willing to receive instruction, correction, and rebuke. Everybody say, rebuke, 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 rebuke. Sounds like some death chant. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. It's the Bible word for being told you're messing up and here's the right way to do it. How many of you have ever messed up and you needed to be told the right way to do it? Now, those who receive a rebuke are wise. Look at this in Proverbs 13, 18, here up on the screen. It says this. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Pastor Tom, I love coming to church and sitting here and have you rebuke me for 45 minutes. I don't think anybody's ever told me that. Thanks for the rebuke, Pastor. It felt great. Yeah, so that's what I needed. My wife's been doing it all weekend, and now I come here and I get more. Nobody actually likes it, but it says he who regards it, he who takes it and grows from it. You know, people who don't like to have the Bible jammed down their throat, however they put it, you know, don't beat me over the head with the Bible. You know what? The Bible is just God's word telling you about his love for you and how to make the right choices so that you don't die. Now if you don't want that, if you don't want to hear what God has to say, why? Poverty and shame will come to he who disdains correction. Oh, sign me up for that, poverty and shame. See, in Hebrews it says, whoever God loves, He disciplines. Ooh, I'm getting like goosebumps. I guess maybe I'm just bracing myself. I don't know. Maybe it's not goosebumps. I'm just bracing myself for the discipline. Yeah, anybody ever said this? Everybody ever said this? God disciplined me? Right, not everybody has, but some people I know have. They said, God disciplined me. But because they understand he loves them, and when they say, God disciplined me, he's going to bring loving correction into their life in such a way so that they aren't saddled with poverty and shame, but they will be honored because they receive a rebuke. The Message Bible says about this scripture, it says, refuse discipline and end up homeless. Embrace correction and live an honored life. It's a choice. Teachable, stubborn, and unteachable. The Bible says, don't be like the mule that you need to whack over the head with a 2x4 in order to get him to move. Okay? Some of you, well, that's just me. I'm just stubborn. Well, change. You know, just I don't care what your ethnicity is. You know, some of us European people think we're stubborn. That's nothing to boast about. All right? Committed, yes. Stubborn, no. Committed, you're a winner. Stubborn, you're stupid and you're a loser. It's a bumper sticker. Winners are committed. Stupid are stubborn. All right. A teachable person seeks out advice and asks wise people to speak into their life. Now, if you're facing a decision that's hard or a decision that you need information about or wisdom about, you go to somebody who's wise, seasoned leader, pastor, or an elder, or even a Christian who's a mature Christian, and you sit down and you say, now, do you love me? Will you be gentle with me? You can couch it however you want to, but then ultimately you're going to have to say, okay, what do you see in my life that needs to change so I can go to the next level? I'm facing this crisis here. How can I overcome this? You take some ownership, say, I'm going to grow, I want to change. Is there something I need to grow to change? I mean, I've done that many times with pastors or bishops that I know that I've been able to sit down and I can say, you know, I want to go to the next level here. What do you see? And you know what? And God uses it every time. It's not a you're bad. It's not a you're the one that's at fault. It's you know what? We're all needing to learn and grow and change. And if you embrace the characteristic of teachability, you will get better. That won't be all you can do. You will get better. You will get promoted. Someone said, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. Should I say that again? Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. A teachable person seeks out advice. As an employer, Pastor Laurie and I know that being teachable will almost always win over talent and ability. We're looking for somebody who will be teachable, not for somebody who's just got a great education. Some of the worst employees we've had in our daycare had bachelor's degrees, were the highest on the registry, wanted the most money, wouldn't follow any instructions. They knew it better. They wanted to do it their way. Well, start your own daycare. We want it done our way. And we want you to be happy about it. There's nothing wrong with that. Life's too short to have people not do what you're asking them to do and then have to go and apologize to everybody else for the fact that they were disobedient and rebellious. So get out. Well, we don't hire them now because we ask them the questions about whether or not they have a good attitude and they're teachable and they're going to do what we ask them to do and they're humble enough to say, you know, you may know better, but it doesn't matter. If you are teachable, you can work almost anywhere. Someone said, 85% of success in life is due to attitude, while only 15% is due to ability. Teachability is not, again, a spiritual gift. It's a choice. It's an attitude we choose. Proverbs 10:8, look at this in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 10:8 says this, "The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their face." What does a wise person do? He's glad to be instructed. A wise person will sit there and say, "You tell me what I need to learn." Instead of, "Blah, blah, 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 I do it this way, and I do this, I think this, I do this, I get this idea, I get this idea, I get this idea. If you could do this, you're the better boss." Okay. I may have not been doing this for 100 years, but I've been doing it for a while. Here is what a teachable person thinks. Everyone has something to teach me. Every day I will learn something. And every time I learn something and I apply it, I benefit. Anytime you face a challenge, a loss, a problem, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, am I the cause? Am I the cause? Otherwise, you're going to experience what someone called deja vu. Deja vu. The feeling that you've been in this mess before. There's a lot of words for it, a lot of expressions about it. We're going around the mount, so, you know, we're around the mount one more time. You know what? If you're teachable and you're losing, you can go, what am I doing to continue to be in this situation that never changes? Why do my wife and I continue to have the same conflicts over and over and over? Why do I have the same issues in my job over and over and over? Why am I falling short in my finances over and over and over? Why is my health constantly an issue over and over and over? The first thing a teachable person does, am I the one who needs to change? What do I need to do in this situation? I need to take some ownership. All right, the people who refuse to look in the mirror and instead they look at other people or situations to blame, they keep getting their same results over and over and over, and they don't know why. Here's an example and the solution in this little book called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Chapter 1 reads this, "I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find my way out." Chapter 2. "I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It takes a long time to get out." Chapter 3. "I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It is a habit. But my eyes are open, and I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately." Chapter 4. "I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it." Chapter 5. "I walk down another street." Recognize your failures. Seek solutions, no matter how painful, and work hard to put those solutions into place. This is part of the reason why teachability can be hard, because when you've been making mistakes and you've experienced a lot of failure, it may be painful to change and face the fact that I've been making bad decisions. You know what? This is why we have what's called grace, and God's unconditional forgiveness is so that we can come to God and we can come to people and go, there is no condemnation in Christ. I just want to get better. I just want to stop being a loser. I just want to stop losing. I just want to start seeing some success in my life. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. I'm going to close. I've got more, but I'm going to close here. I want to pray for you today to embrace the will of God and receive what he has for you. Would you stand on your feet with me? The band's going to come up and we're going to close with this song. But right now, if there is something in your life that is defeating you, okay, and you don't know what it is, I want you to receive what I told you today about teachability. It's a choice that you make out of humility to God that says, you know what? I'm going to receive godly counsel. I'm going to find out what the Word of God says, and I'm going to even ask somebody. Because all of us can only see one direction. We can't see what's behind us. We have a blind spot. And there's blind spots in our life. Our perspective of life, how we see ourselves. We don't see the mistakes sometimes that we're making. We just think bad things happen in life. But maybe some of our choices are causing that. So let's just close our eyes right now. Let's just ask God to show us where in our lives we can grow. Where in our lives we can receive godly counsel. Where we need more commitment to the things that will help our life become what God wants it to be. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for choosing my own way and not your way. I want to change. I want to do the things that you've asked me to do. No matter how hard it is, I want to commit to following you and being everything you've called me to be. From this day forward, I lay aside the weights, the sins, the excuses, all the things that have paralyzed me from moving forward with you. I make a choice to not consider other people's feelings when it comes to following you, but just to consider my commitment to you. I make a decision to pay the price, to do what it takes to grow, to learn, to become better at what you want me to do. Help me, God. Walk as a winner, an overcomer, a victorious leader in my life, so I can give you glory and honor, and I can experience the promise of your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody says amen.